Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Alkem Laboratories Q3 FY23 results conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Welcome to 3Q FY23 earnings call of Alkem Laboratories. From the management side, we have Mr. Sandeep Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Dubey, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amit Ghare, President, International Business, Mr. Yogesh Kaushal, President, Chronic Division, and Amit Khandelia from the finance team. Over to you, Amit, for the opening remarks.
Thank you, Tushar. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Alkem Laboratories Q3 FY23 earnings call. Earlier during the day, we have released our financial results and investor presentation, and the same are also posted on our website. Hope you had a chance to look at it. To discuss the business performance and outlook going forward, we have on this call the senior management team of Alkem. Before I proceed with this call, I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded and the call transcript will be made available on our website as well. I would also like to add that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, and the same must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. After the end of this call, if any of your queries remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Sandeep Singh to present the key highlights of the quarter gone by and strategy going forward. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thank you, Amit. Good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for our Q3 FY23 earnings call. I will briefly take you through the key operational and financial highlights of the quarter gone by and will then leave the floor open for Q&A. This quarter has been a strong quarter for the company, with year-on-year revenue growth of about 16%. EBITDA margin improved substantially from the previous two quarters and came in at 19.7%, and the PAT after minority interest at about 450 crores. During the quarter, we generated cash in excess of 500 crores, which has helped us further strengthen our balance sheet with a strong net cash position of 1,900 crores as on December 2022. In a recent development with regards to our biosimilar business, Enzene Biosciences, this company has raised about 161 crores and partnered with Eight Roads Ventures and F Prime Capital. This further instills our confidence and reaffirms our journey towards building a leading global biological company that leverages innovation to enhance global health. After having commercialized key products in Indian market, Enzene has launched adalimumab in this quarter. Enzene has also received approval for cetuximab, which would be a fifth biosimilar product in Indian market. We are seeing good traction on CDMO side also, and we expect CDMO segment to make a meaningful contribution to Enzene in the coming years. Building on the pace of Q1 and Q2, our India business delivered a good growth of 9.7% year-on-year during the quarter. We have outperformed the market in all quarters of the financial year, and in Q3, our performance is even starker than the Indian pharmaceutical market as per secondary sales data by IQVIA. While IPM grew by 10%, Alkem grew by 16.7%, thereby beating market by 670 basis points. We have gained market share across all acute therapies, areas of anti-infective, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, pain management, and gastrointestinal. In chronic therapy areas like anti-diabetic, neuro, CNS, and urology, we are growing far ahead of the market. Our growth in these therapy is more than three times the market growth rate. We have gained three ranks in anti-diabetic, two ranks in neuro CNS, and 4 rank in urology during the quarter. Moving on to our international business, after 2 quarters of subdued performance, our US business posted a strong growth in quarter 3 on the back of good season in US market. US business posted a year-on-year growth of 33% and sequential growth of 26% in rupee terms. During the quarter, we filed 2 ANDAs with the US FDA and received 3 approvals, including 1 tentative approval. Our other international markets delivered a year-on-year growth in excess of 15% on back of good performance majorly from Chile and Kazakhstan. Coming to regulatory inspection conducted by US FDA during the quarter, in terms of regulatory status of our manufacturing facilities, St. Louis was inspected in the month of November for which EIR is received. All our manufacturing facilities supplying to the US market have an EIR as on date. To summarize, we have delivered another quarter of market-beating performance in our domestic franchisee, and we would continue to maintain a leadership position. A lot of cost optimization projects are underway in the organization, benefits of which will start accruing the coming period. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and good evening. So the first question on the U.S. Market, there's a strong sequential momentum. How sustainable is that? Because there might be some seasonal benefits. If you can guide for the next quarter and quarters ahead on the U.S. market.
Thanks, Sayan. I would like Mr. Amit Ghare to take this question because I think he's much closer to reality. Amit, over to you.
Thank you, Sandeep. Sayan, you're absolutely right. Most of the performance in the quarter came because of the season, especially of the flu season. We do have a lot of anti-infectives and other products related with that. Quarter 4 guidance certainly will not be similar to quarter 3 for sure. We are hoping it will be better than quarter 1 and quarter 2 or certainly in line with that.
Okay. That's helpful. And also on the cost front, how you're seeing raw material cost, your other expenses were also somewhat, the growth was muted. So if you can talk about the cost, how that's sort of playing out, any changes you've seen in the recent past.
Mr. Dubey.
Yeah. Stan, as you see in quarter 3, our gross level margin, 100 basis point improvement is visible. So 58.9% margin we have, whereas in sequential quarter, it was 100 plus basis point down. as far as cost of material is concerned, I think we have not yet come pre-COVID level. So raw material prices, they are on higher side, but manageable. Unlike what we saw in the month of November and December of last year. Second, going forward also, DPCO price increase because of higher inventory, we were not able to take 100% benefit till quarter 2. Quarter 3, I think that benefit has also come. So these are the 2 major reasons. And as we guided earlier, I think we are going to remain somewhere close to 58.5% gross margin level. As far as your question on other expenditure is concerned, if you are referring quarter 3, definitely in quarter 3, it is on lower side. In fact, it's a 22%, whereas in earlier quarters or on annualized basis, it is higher. There are 2 major reasons behind it. One, currency fluctuation positive it has come in this quarter because mainly Chilean peso, it got strengthened. That was one big factor. And another big another reason being some of our R&D related expenditure, it has got deferred for the period. So not in quarter three. So we have a little bit on lower side. So the, there are some marketing expenditure related also a little bit on lower side, but they are not very significant. These are the major two items which is indicating other expenses on lower side. If you have any further question, I will be happy answering.
Yeah, just one clarification. I mean, I think the foreign exchange fluctuation had a negative impact, if I remember correctly, in the first quarter. So that
yes.
has got reversed. And like, what is the quantum here?
For quarter three, it is to the tune of 50 crores.
Okay.
50. So because in quarter two, there was negative of 20, and we have positive of 30. This. So sequential quarter, if you see, impact is around 50 crores.
And that is under other expense?
Yes.
Okay. And just one last point, sir. I mean, with the China opening, you mentioned raw material prices are high and it will remain there. So you do not expect any moderation in raw material costs? Or you don't have any signs of that happening?
I think particularly anti-infective cephalosporin, and I think now prices again started going up. Penji, we can clearly see prices have started going up. So we don't know, but going forward, we think it will get normalized and the situation will be in control. But currently, yes, definitely anti-infective, especially, we can witness a rise in price of raw material.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of clarifications. First, I think we are facing some kind of supply issue with one of the products in the US in quarter two, where probably we also have an exclusivity. Has that been resolved in this quarter and that product contributed meaningfully in this quarter?
Mr. Amit Ghare, you can take that.
No, that supply challenges remain. That product has not contributed meaningfully in this quarter. Perhaps not at all.
Okay. And in going forward, how is the competitive landscape there? Are we able to resolve those challenges and we still see opportunity for that product? Or once the exclusivity period is over, the competition will take over?
The exclusivity in any case was a shared exclusivity. More than two players who are there in the market had or could have got approval. So obviously they have not got approval because of their own reasons. It's very difficult to say when competition will come in. As we speak today, the opportunity still remains, but we need to get a good hold on our supply chain like we discussed in the earlier quarter.
And what is this issue basically? Is it related to API? Is it an in-house API product or partnered API product? What is the issue that we are facing?
I don't think I'm at liberty to discuss that at a product specific level in detail.
Sure. And the second question is on India business. Can you provide some kind of color in terms of what was the growth in the trade generic business in the quarter or maybe the contribution of trade generic business in this quarter?
Can you repeat the last line? I couldn't hear.
The contribution of trade generic business in our India business in this quarter.
Yes, it's around 20%. It's 20% to the total business for the quarter.
20% for the total business. And for the 9 months?
Almost similar.
Okay. The last thing on the cost efficiency side. If I have to attribute it to a particular geography, which geography would you be targeting more from the cost efficiency perspective? Or is it a general kind of improvement across?
So I think that's, Sanjeev, I think that's it's general, but it's more US-led to some extent, but it's overall, it's a company-wide kind of initiative which we are taking up.
Okay, and have you done
it? Sorry to interrupt you.
Sorry.
Kunal, your voice was not audible in between.
Yeah, I was just saying the last one. Have we taken some steps, you know, which might start flowing from maybe next quarter or maybe, you know, within couple of quarters? If yes, what would be the quantum?
No, I think, see, obviously we have taken steps which will start benefiting us, but the quantum might not be substantial next quarter or something. I think these are medium-term projects, so I think next year you could see a benefit. And, you know, this is similar to what we have guided in the last call. So I think all this is part of that. So there's nothing which can be added on top of what we have said. So it's an ongoing thing. We will see a improvement in EBITDA margins next year, but nothing substantial in the next quarter or something.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. As you mentioned in the call that, you know, some of the expenses have been deferred to quarter four, and normally quarter four is a soft quarter, you know, where we see most of the expenses coming in. And our 9 months EBITDA margin is roughly around 14.4%. So do you think that, you know, the earlier guidance of 15% EBITDA margin achievement in FY23 is now looking a bit challenging? If you can update on that.
Yeah, Rashmi. we remain with our guidance on EBITDA margin. So we have reasons to believe why we are going to land somewhere 15 to 15.5%. And reason being, we have a sizable spillover revenue recognition which is going to happen in quarter four. That is one thing. And then second, our business is moving as per our estimate only. So we don't think this year quarter four is going to be so softened as it used to. We believe quarter four is going to be reasonably good. On overall basis, we are confident we'll be somewhere where we have guided.
Okay. And sir, on India business, you know, how do we see our India growth? Are we expecting that, you know, quarter four growth to be, you know, higher and, you know, we can actually complete FY23 growth at around high single digit growth?
Yes, certainly we can. There's no reason why we should not be able to do that.
Okay, and on India business, you know, have you launched Valsartan plus Acubitril product? So have you added any new MRs for that, or, you know, segregated, you know, some of your MRs from the current strength, you know, for this particular product? And how are you seeing the competitive intensity in this particular product?
Yeah, so, you know, Acubitril Valsartan, we knew it's going to be intense. So we have created a separate team where we have done a product rationalization. So we have launched a second cardio-diabetes team. So we have separated two brands so that we make space for Acubitril Valsartan. And we have been preparing this almost a year before. So we understand the market dynamics and we are prepared. We should do good here.
Okay, sir. And finally, on the US, if you can update on number of launches that you did in 9 months, and also on the price erosion, you know, in the oral solid space, you know, how is it for the company?
Mr. Amit Ghare, you can take that, please.
Sure. Thank you, Sandeep. Number of launches so far, I think, have been 8 over the 9 months, if I remember correctly. And the price erosion still continues from a overall, you know, deflation perspective. It is still in double digits for us. It did reduce in quarter three, but for 9 months, it continues to be in lower double digits for us.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is One is on, you know, the cost-saving initiative that we had taken. So you mentioned it is on track. What I'm trying to understand is it like, you know, the 250 crore kind of cost saving, is it for the year fiscal 24 or is it, you know, how do we see that, over which, what period of time do we see that?
Prakash, yes, fiscal 24, next year.
So which is about 2% of the overall company EBITDA margins. So we reach a pace of about 15-odd% this year. So how should we think margins for next year? Broad color will help. What are the levers in terms of base business apart from the cost saving initiative?
No, so I will, okay, so I will not try to segregate between usual and apart of, you know, like special cost savings. Because, you know, we always do these things when we spoke about it last time. We also had in back of our mind. And keep in mind that, you know, we might gun for 250, but all might not happen. So I would try to curb enthusiasm over there to really say that we can get all the 250. It doesn't happen like that in life. So, I mean, same thing, Prakash, what we spoke last time. Whatever we land this year, we could go 200 basis points above that next year.
Okay. And how do we make sure that there is no revenue impact of the cost-saving initiative that we are taking? I mean, have we thought
sure.
about that?
Oh, of course, that's my job, Prakash. I'm paid for that. So obviously, I don't cut costs and let go of revenue. That, you know, we are very, very conscious of that, Prakash. We are a sales and marketing strong company. We don't do things for short-term and create long-term pain, sir.
So what I'm asking this is, like, you know, the Penji and Penji prices from the raw material side and couple of products in the U.S. really shook the margin trajectory. I mean, Alchem 70% India, very steady margin with very steady growth rates in the past. I mean, this last 9 months, 6 months have been little volatile compared to the history.
Right.
So, hence the question, sir.
So, I mean, your question was that whether we'll cut costs such a way that revenue will impact it. Answer is clear, no. Now, if you're coming to on RM and Penji and stuff, that's a different ball game. It's also keep in mind, Prakash, that within 1 year's time, Penji will be produced in India. Now, I'm not here to like talk about other companies, but we know those large companies doing it. So we don't know, Prakash, but I think it will stabilize. I mean, and even if it does not, you know, we have to live with it and there could be other avenues to work on it. But I'm still positive, Prakash. There are, it cannot go completely berserk. End of the day, it's an antibiotic. The cost has to be curtailed somewhere, even at the government level and things like that.
Okay.
So I'm sure that it will not go berserk. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Secondly, sir, congrats on the Indian deal. So can you speak about, you know, what is the clear plan here? How many products are under development? Have we taken any product to rest of the world markets? What's the 3-year plan here? And what is the revenue recognition here? How is it captured in the balance sheet?
Yeah. So I think the financial question, Mr. Dubey, you could take that over the revenue recognition and balance sheet. And then all the products and market I'll take up.
Yeah. So revenue recognition is as per accounting norms. Prakash, if you have any specific question, whatever revenue is accrued as due, that is recognized in our financials. So if you have something specific, I will be happy answering.
Sale is, you know, accounted for. There is no other income impact, right? So,
sorry.
Other income impact.
Other income impact on what?
On the sale, the partial sale of the, equity.
Still, I'm not very clear what you are asking.
I'll take it offline, sir. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and lastly, if I may add just one more. So January was a little, softer month for everybody given high Omicron base. So is it just the base related or the market itself was softer in terms of volume? What is our take on that? And secondly, on the NLEM list, which had come with revised prices in December, what is the impact that we can see for our portfolio?
Yes, Prakash, this January month, I'll take this question. See, it was actually not a softer month. Last year's January, we have Omicron. So some of the therapies, particularly anti-infectives, multivitamins, and pain, these three had an inflated base last year, and therefore you might see some diluted growth in the month of January. But overall, if you look at broad therapies, they have shown a good growth. Internally, also in line with this, we have done well. Actually, January month overall for Alkem was a good month across therapies.
Okay. And then NLEM?
Yeah. NLEM, we have minor impact. We have an impact of close to around 40 crores in quarter, and we are set to compensate this through our unit growth. So we should manage this.
Yeah. And Prakash, Sandeep here, you had asked on Enzene, so I think we did not finish it. And financials, as you said, you'll take it offline, Mr. Dubey. So, we don't give numbers, but I'll tell you for Enzene, though on a small base, I think we are doubling every year, and next year also we'll do the same. We got three products going for global development. One is in clinical trial stage, and the other two are, one is in preclinical, other is about to enter clinical. So we are not doing a lot of it because we know the costs are very, very high on this. What we try to do is we try to out-license the product to at least one key geography so that licensing fee kind of funds some amount of clinical trials. That's how we plan to kind of keep it, like, not say very high, the clinical trial cost, in terms of impact on P&L. And in India, we have got approval of five biosimilars, four have been launched. So I think it's going great, and Enzene has a strategy of working with everyone. So it's B2B business, which is large or, you know, larger than what it supplies to Alkem or close to that. So Enzene, independent company, we wanted to do business with everyone, and it's growing well. I think in the next two, three quarters, we'll be able to share a lot more color to it.
Okay, lovely. Thank you, and all the best for Enzene.
Thank you, Prakash. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on India. So, trade generic is around 20%, as you highlighted earlier. So between these two, like, what is the growth differential? Are we seeing more growth in the branded portfolio, or it's similar for both? And how should we see growth profile for these two segments going ahead?
No, our branded portfolio has grown faster than generic. Generic is roughly around 5-6%, while formulation is healthy double digits. So, you know, so our formulation is growing much faster
double
than double of generic. Yeah.
Okay. And a question from the slide which you shared earlier. So you have outperformed market in most of the therapies, which Sandeep also highlighted earlier. But one segment, I believe, cardiac is one where you have grown below market. So what exactly is happening in that particular segment? Anything to point out?
I think cardiac, to be very honest, we have to address this strategically, you know, and this is a good question you asked. We were focusing more on very niche products, particularly products for atrial fibrillation and anticoagulants, you know, like dabigatrans and all. So though we did very well there, but from the volume point of view, it is not bigger market. So what strategic change we have done is that we'll focus more on mass molecules like telmisartan, olmesartan, and all those, which are big volumes. And of course, your lipid regulators, your rosuvastatins. So these three constitute close to around 65-70% of cardiology market. So we will slightly restructure our strategy and see that, you know, from quarter onwards, you should see a better trajectory in cardiology as well.
Okay, so shift in strategy here to move towards the higher volume.
Yeah, because niche, although niche we create a good impression, but doesn't give us volume, so there we'll do a strategic change here. And this will show us results soon.
Okay, got it. Okay. My second question is on your margin guidance for FY23. So you mentioned we should be maintaining somewhere 15-15.5% outlook for the year. And you mentioned about some spillover sales, which I missed. Can you clarify? Like you said, some spillover sales will be there in the fourth quarter.
So, Damayanti, I think you are talking for margin of 23 states. So
yes.
Yeah.
As we discussed and we reconfirmed our EBITDA margin is going to be in the range of 15%-15.5%. As far as spillover of sales is concerned, as per accounting norm, if whatever revenue recognition we cannot recognize because of non-completion of entire revenue recognition cycle, and in that, it's a very specific delivery of goods, whatever you have sold. That needs to be recognized when you deliver it and when risk and reward is getting passed on. In quarter three, as of 31st December, we have material sales which needs to be recognized revenue in quarter four, in the month of January itself. Since March, most of the company, they complete their sales order cycle, dispatches and everything well before year-end closure. Spillover is hardly anything for the month of March. That's the reason I mentioned key one sizable material amount we have to be recognized as revenue in the month in fourth quarter.
Okay, understood. My final question is on how do you see R&D cost moving ahead now, like enGene obviously have sufficient funding. How should we look at this part moving ahead and where you'll be spending most of your R&D budget?
Yeah. Most of the budget would still, I mean, be for small molecules because that's traditionally a large business. We will manage, as we said last time, everything within 5.5, including biosimilars, R&D, clinical trials, everything.
Sorry, Sanjiv, it's within 7%. I missed that.
No, 5.5 I said. No.
Oh, 5.5.
5.5.
Okay.
Yes.
Despite progressing in some of the clinical
Yes, despite.
programs.
Yes.
You should be sustaining that.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't say seven. Everybody will fall off the chair over here. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, that's my mistake. Thank you.
No, I'm just kidding. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Amit, on the U.S. business, you know, we've seen a lot of our peers indicate, you know, base business margin, sorry, base business improvement, you know, because of supply disruption, players exiting, et cetera. You know, is Alkem also seeing similar trends in our existing product that could play out, you know, in the near term?
Most of the improvement in business in quarter three actually came from all the legacy products, but those were because of the seasonal effect. Coming to your question, in general, overall, not just seasonal products, but overall, we definitely are seeing, you know, a lot of customer inquiries and calls coming through, in terms of because of either discontinuations or regulatory challenges to competition. However, how much of it will actually get realized to us as an ongoing business remains to be seen, because essential roadblock is pricing. I'll leave it at that. As our performance comes through for quarter four, we will be able to witness it or not witness it.
Understood. Just to clarify, you know, obviously you, Alkem taking up the additional revenue would depend on a better pricing versus the existing for some of these products. That would be a fair assumption?
Yeah. What I mean is that, you know, obviously there are the customers need product and, you know, if the existing supplier discontinues or has a different challenge, the customer will look for an alternate supplier. The question is that alternate supplier Alkem or someone else takes that position is what kind of remains to be seen. Yeah.
Understood. Okay, got it. My second question is on the cost optimization. Sandeep, I know you mentioned cost optimization and the amount, but you know, given that we are making progress on it, could you highlight two or three areas in terms of where this cost optimization is being implemented and what's the progress that we've made, just so that for us to understand when we can start seeing a contribution into margin?
Right. You know, these are, as I said, company initiatives. 20% of it kind of we have identified, rest we are identifying. Some part of it is getting implemented. These are from manufacturing to R&D, and these are manpower in both of them. It could be even kind of some project reduction in some pipeline, being more stringent about what kind of products we do. So it's encompassing. We're looking at the whole stuff. And so largely R&D and manufacturing, I would say, and then some amount of rationalization we could even look at going forward in other areas as well. And manufacturing cost restructuring, those are also on the play, and we will disclose in the next couple of quarters.
And when you say rationalization, could this be portfolio rationalization, let's say in markets like US?
More than portfolio, it could be some kind of, you know, plant optimization, those kind of stuff.
Got it.
Letting go of products may not be like right for us, but yeah, we could find better ways to do it for sure.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll move to the next question from the line of Bino Pati Parampil from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon to all. Just a couple of follow-up questions. One on Dabigatran in the US. So you have these supply issues which you are working on. Do you have any visibility of sorting that out in a quarter or two or so, or is it a still fluid situation?
Amit, over to you, but we know what you want to say. Amit, over to you.
Sure. Now, we are working on two strategies to, you know, restore our supply chain. And we think it is still going to take about 6 months to do that. But then there could be a few regulatory pathways which could make it sooner, unlikely, but could delay it as well.
Okay. So is this a difficult product, or is one of its components that very difficult to source thing that, you know, not practically nobody is getting approval, nobody is being able to launch or ramp up, etc.? Is it a technology challenge or a sourcing challenge?
So for us, it's a supply chain challenge. For others, I would not like to comment.
Understood. Okay. The second question is about the forex law, forex gain of 50 crores. So it's there in other expense. I would just like to understand the accounting there. Is this 50 crores, is it related to some hedges that you make?
No. It is not hedges. It's a conversion, currency conversion, and mainly it is out of Chilean peso to dollar, and then dollar conversion to INR. So it is not related to hedging.
Okay, so if I understand, you would have booked the sales related to this maybe in a quarter, last quarter, or a couple of quarters back. And when you finally realize the receivables, you get a higher amount. Is that correct?
It's a conversion. When we prepare our financial statements, local currency needs to be converted to reportable currency. So currency difference needs to be accounted as income or losses in financial statement. So yes, you rightly mentioned in earlier quarters, there were loss. Whereas now CLP is formed up against US dollar, and that has given us benefit. If you recollect in our earlier quarters also, when we recognized notional loss in our financial statement, deliberately we kept remittance on hold because we wanted currency to take some reverse, and after getting this reverse, we started actual realization. So you can say in earlier quarters, to certain extent, it was notional. In quarter three also, unwind has happened. And now quarter four, actual realization is happening, where we found this becoming normal. I was able to clarify your queries?
In some sort of, but just one follow-up. So is it that you have a subsidiary in Chile which you are consolidating, and that is why this is coming?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's basically balance sheet consolidation coming from.
Yeah.
Okay. My impression was that gets clubbed with other income.
No. If you have gain, it will go in other income. If you have losses, it will come under other expenses.
So this quarter we had a gain, so it should have gone in other income, right?
Here we are talking quarter to quarter actual currency fluctuation. So when you see YTD, ultimately reporting is going to happen at YTD level. Quarterly, of course, there is a gain, but YTD, still some small amount of negative is there. That's why it has gone in other expenses.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Most welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to know regarding the overall investment till date, which has been done in Enzene by Elkem and other investors.
Other than investor, our investment is 915 crore, if I'm not wrong.
Including.
And other investors' investment is 161 crore. So you can say somewhere 1,170 crores.
Okay. And so what are the biosimilar sales in India for the 9-month or 12-month basis?
You mean to say Enzene sale or total biosimilars?
Overall, Enzene and biosimilar both.
It is in the range of around 90 to 95 crores on YTD level. So here we are considering whatever Elkem has sold and whatever Enzene has sold to third party, not intercompany.
Include CDMO.
Yes. Yeah. And CDMO income is also included in this.
Okay. So it is Enzene plus CDMO.
Yeah.
That is Enzene CDMO. So Enzene's non-biosimilar work as well.
Okay, okay. And so last question is regarding the currency benefit which was there in the third quarter. Do you expect it to continue in the fourth quarter as well?
Sorry.
Currency benefit,
nobody can predict, sir. But we hope similar kind of trend is going to continue in next quarter also. But nobody can say with confidence.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations on a good set of numbers from this campaign. My question was, so in diabetes, over the last 2 years, they've jumped significant ranks from, I think, 21, now they're 15, 16. And they're also growing significantly ahead of market. So what is our ambition here to sort of get into the top 10? And, you know, what will get us there? Are we looking at any sort of brand acquisitions or will it mostly be organic?
Yeah, so diabetes, we are doing strong there. And what has led us over here and will take us to future is our success of new products, particularly, you know, dapagliflozin and Alite, and then sitagliptin and vildagliptin. All three we have done good there. We have done exceptionally good there. So we now intend to build this molecule to big brands of 100 crore plus types. So these three brands we are investing heavy and we should do good. And along with that, we have a legacy brand like Glucuril and all, which will keep on supporting. So overall, we expect from rank 15, our aspiration is to be amongst the top 10.
Okay. Any time period you would like to share for the same?
I know, but you know, it's going to be challenging, but around 3 to 4 years, we should be amongst the top 10.
All right, that's helpful, sir. One question on the MR productivity. So I wanted to understand at what number does the operating leverage start playing out in MR productivity, you know, especially for the chronic division. So last quarter, we mentioned about 3.8, 3.9 lakhs MR productivity we have. So after what number would we start seeing operating leverage and margin improvement for the division?
So see, number of reps is, you know, very subjective, but a headquarter gives us a break-even at around close to 2 lakh rupees type. So if headquarter does a close to 2 lakh productivity, we get a break-even. So in line with that, the divisional break-even starts. Yeah.
So we are already much higher than that. So anything more would just start contributing to the margin.
Yeah, correct. Any additional productivity now will contribute to the net margin. Perfect.
All right, that's helpful. One question on Enzene. I think we've spoken a lot, but you know, am I audible?
Yes, we have
raised money now from independent, you know, from different investors. And is it right to understand that going forward, Enzene will be independently funding operations as Care grows? And what is our long-term outlook? I mean, do we see it as a separate independent entity in the next 3 to 4 years?
I think it is already a separate independent entity. So, I mean, your question, I'm not very clear. Do you mean that will it not need to raise funds? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Not much of Alchem support in terms of development.
No, I think we'll evaluate it. If we find it attractive, we'll continue to invest in Enzene. I think it will continue to be a very attractive, I think, growth engine for Alchem. So, I mean, it's possible we'll keep investing. And it's also possible that we'll keep taking outside money as well. So, I mean, yes.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, Sandeepji, and best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the last question from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the follow-up. So a couple of questions. First, on the trade generic, we alluded that we have seen 5-6% growth. I believe it's kind of, you know, multi-quarter low kind of growth. So is it a function of more competition or high base from the last year same quarter, or basically, you know, the market being slow?
I think it's a combination of the first and the last one you said. The base is very high this year. Well, because of the last year, we all know the base acute sales and trade generics and all that was substantially high. So it's coming off a high base. And the market is also slow, I mean, because of the same kind of reason. So it's a one-off. We cannot anticipate. So just like how U.S. high sales, we don't think will continue. Similarly, U.S. generic low sales will not continue. They both are aberrations.
Okay. You meant the India trade generics?
Yes.
And secondly, I think on the new business opportunity in US, you know, which we are still not sure whether that will accrue some of that to us, those products will come to us. But let's say hypothetically that does come to us. Does that kind of you know, delay the cost efficiencies that
margin? No, it will not delay any cost. There's nothing to do with the launches and things like that.
The focus is on manufacturing rationalization, etc. Right. But if you get more products, which means more...
I understand. Okay. It will not matter.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Amit Khandelia this side. Thank you everyone for attending this call. If any of your queries are unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.